Welcome to Prima's 2024 podcast series. My name is Shonda Ragland. I am the Senior Director of Education and Training at Prima. On this Prima podcast, Dan Foster and Ton Hong will discuss navigating law enforcement liability. Dan is a casualty loss control expert at Munich Re, and Ton is a public entity underwriter at Munich Re. We will also be joined by Prima's education coordinator, Taekwon Gilbert. Taekwon will moderate the discussion. Enjoy the podcast.
Dan, Ton, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks, Taekwon. Glad to be here as well.
No problem. So what are some of the major changes that have taken place in law enforcement within the past few years?
So there's about six areas that we've seen significant changes go on, particularly during the pandemic, but even prior to that. Those include things such as staff reductions, qualified officers. In fact, to address that, a lot of agencies have been doing creative things such as changing the standards and test qualifications to including raising the age for qualified officers and even the physical ability test. Things like that have been changed. Other changes include regulatory changes, calls for more transparency and accountability, and statutory immunity erosion. So I'm going to give a quick overview of some of the regulatory changes that we've seen in the past few years that states have taken on. So one of them is neck restraints and chokeholds. 25 states have implemented laws regulating or restricting or modifying the use of that as a law enforcement procedure. Use of force. 20 states have enacted changes to their use of force guidance. Duty to report or intervene on excessive use of force. 19 states have either added or enhanced their regulations in that area. Duty to provide medical aid. 9 states created laws with that scope for law enforcement. No-knock warrants have either been revised or prohibited in 14 states. And body-worn cameras, 9 states have either added or expanded their laws regarding body-worn cameras by officers. So the other things, 26 states have enacted calls for more transparency. And they've made that part of their regulations where there's more public access and availability for the public to see what's going on in agencies. And then calls for more accountability. All states, all 50 states have enacted task force that have looked at how, in the oversight scope, looked at how law enforcement agencies operate and provided some input on how those agencies operate. And for statutory immunities, 4 states have banned the qualified immunity protections at the state level for law enforcement officers. And 6 states have put in limitations on qualified immunity for officers. And just for clarification, law enforcement agencies have qualified immunity, which allows them to operate with basic immunities within the scope of their performance. So those are what's changed is that some of those have eroded or have been modified.
What are some of the challenges to underwriting law enforcement?
Thanks, Taekwon. Underwriters today are facing a unique set of challenges due to increasing exposures and risks for law enforcement liability. And I would like to talk about some of the emerging risk and exposure we're seeing. Law enforcement agencies, as Dan mentioned, nationwide are experiencing an exodus of officers. This could be due to stress burnout, retirement, recruitment challenges, and police suicide that's on the rise. But what we're also seeing is an increase in attacks against police officers. Part of it is attributed to a spread of disinformation through social media that could lead to a decline in public trust and also an increase in violent acts towards police officers. What we're also seeing is an increase of public dissatisfaction, and that could potentially lead to more confrontation scenarios for escalation and increasing law enforcement liability claims. We're seeing situations where someone's getting pulled over for a typical traffic stop, and you could have a scenario where an escalation ensues. The person being stopped may have either anger or frustration towards police officers, especially if there's a financial burden of a high ticket cost. Then suddenly you see a highway pursuit ensues, and this could potentially lead to large potential claims involving public safety. Another emerging exposure we're seeing is homelessness is becoming a challenge for law enforcement. And that's exacerbated by economic situation and limited resources for mental health and drug-related issues. Another concern is law enforcement training deficiencies due to inadequate training, especially in high-stress situations and dealing with individuals with mental or physical health issues. Other emerging issues underwriters are paying attention with respect to law enforcement is geopolitical risks, the risk of civil unrest and protests. We got the election year coming up next year. Also, legal risks, as Dan mentioned, and regulatory uncertainty is a concern. Legal risks from stemming from changes in laws and reforms. There are states that have limited or ended qualified immunity at the state level, and there's also states considering enacting the same similar laws. And what's this translating in that there's an increase of police activities? And so what we're seeing, a shift is from defunding to refunding, where more resources are being put back into agencies and hiring more officers. That could lead to more activities and potential claims involving law enforcement liability. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention inflationary risk, because that's still a big concern for underwriters with respect to law enforcement. I'll talk about the two general inflation risks, the general inflation and social inflation. With general inflation, this is a hot topic, right? Impacting our everyday life. Things are just getting a lot more expensive. Inflation is getting media attention. You see costs of eggs, milks, gasoline, and housing costs is on the rise. And depending where you are in the country, you could be paying up to $18 for a Big Mac meal at McDonald's. So general inflation also affects underwriting consideration due to rising costs in wages, medical expenses, and that translates into increased costs in claims. Law enforcement agencies themselves are grappling with inflation risk due to high inflation for cost of equipment, vehicles, body cams, and training expenses. Social inflation is a very hot topic right now. It's where social inflation leads to a cost that exceeds the general rate of inflation. And some of the reasons for increase of social inflation is due to increase of litigation, and that's exacerbated by litigation financing and a growing sentiment amongst jurors to award large settlements in response to holding police accountable. We're also seeing a lot of anchoring where states such as California and Washington, where historically there's large claims, we're seeing plaintiff attorneys anchoring those large claims and apply to other states. Also, there's availability of high-power lawyers that plays a significant role in the size of lawsuits and settlements. We're also seeing a trend in the number of nuclear and even potential discussing thermonuclear. Nuclear we define as a claim exceeding $10 million and thermonuclear exceeding $100 million. These terms are exceptionally large jury awards and has become more frequent. Similar, just 10 years ago, a claim that's $10 million there were in the $1 million range. So we are seeing a significant impact due to social inflation. But general inflation, social inflation is impacting law enforcement agencies' insurance because ultimately the financial burden is borne by the agency, cities, counties, and also the insurance carrier. And so these are just some of the few challenges that underwriters are facing with dealing with law enforcement liability.
What steps can risk managers take to secure the most favorable law enforcement liability terms and conditions?
We recommend risk managers ensure that the law enforcement applications are thoroughly completed and kept current, making sure current policies are in place and that they're reviewed by legal experts at least every 2 years to ensure compliance and relevance with the local laws and regulations. But we also recommend risk managers work closely with law enforcement agencies. This helps stay informed about any material changes to their operations that could significantly impact the terms and conditions. For example, if a law enforcement agency historically had large lawsuits due to highway pursuits and that agency is no longer pursuing those pursuits, then that could have a material impact on conditions and terms. We also recommend risk managers engage with pooling administrators and brokers and underwriters. Just building strong relationship with the parties could help the stakeholder have better understanding of their perspectives, requirements, and changes. We also recommend risk managers being open in terms of exploring their current structure and program and exploring different attachment points because that could provide some different risk and rewards benefits. And also making sure if the agency is accredited that the brokers and underwriters are aware because there's a lot of tension in terms of focus on accreditation now. In conclusion, I think risk managers can really position themselves to better negotiate and secure favorable law enforcement liability terms by making sure they have updated apps, policy and procedures, working closer with law enforcement agencies, fund administrators, brokers, underwriters, and be open to exploring different structure and options.
What are some recommendations you have for law enforcement agencies to better manage their risk in light of these new conditions?
So there's seven areas that we in the insurance profession like to see law enforcement agencies have in place. The first is their policies and procedures, keeping those up to date. There's some excellent national and state level model policies and procedures that are out there that agencies can tap into and build their policies and procedures off of that have been vetted out and represent the best practices that we like to see in place. The second is making sure that those policies are followed. Unfortunately, when an agency has excellent policies, but they're not followed and there's a loss or a claim, the negligence is higher for an agency in that scope because of the lack of failure to follow policy. Next is having a well-developed internal investigation process, being able to make sure that that they're following and self-managing their operations. Training, keeping their training up to date is important as well, being consistent with documentation. And then operating with transparency, as we talked about earlier, the public wants to know what's going on, and particularly in the area of bad actors within law enforcement agencies, those officers that have strikes against their record, anything that shows that they might be a risk to the public. The public wants to know that. So operating with transparency is becoming more of an issue, and we like to see agencies operate with that level of transparency that the state calls for. And finally, body cameras and dash cameras. Those are becoming a wider use in terms of the transparency, but also being able to see what's going on when there's an encounter with the public. And that information is helpful for us in the insurance scope.
We've reached the end of our podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please visit the Prima website to hear other Prima podcasts, view upcoming Prima webinars, read Prima blogs, and learn about other Prima educational resources. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and our very own Prima Talk. Have an amazing day.